much about.
You gotta put it in perspective. You ready? 3, 2, 1, here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kyle Fronten started a petition after realizing the plural of Phoenix is Venuses, which sounds pretty similar to a part of the male anatomy.
I mean, why marijuana isn't crushing major pharmaceuticals right now is like, it really is a healer. It's a healing plant that God planted on the earth. I think since the dawn of man, humans and Neanderthals, they've been consuming cannabis.
He looks like the white dude in the picture that comes with the frame.
And now,
columns could crumble, the moon could explode, a banshee could scream in the very face of time, and I will not stop watching this vagina.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
What you making? Fruitcake!
Right?
What you baking? Fruitcake! Candy cherries, red dye number two.
Green cherries,
green ones too. It's fruitcake.
'Tis the season.
It's fruitcake.
It's Monday, the 27th of November.
Pecans or walnuts. Citrus peel.
All right, got it.
Lots of stuff.
Well, hold on, you lost me there with the...
And what you feel.
Well, lots of stuff. That's not a recipe.
Sticks of butter.
Can't add what you feel.
Molasses, lots of dark rum,
more cowbell,
artificial color, artificial flavor.
Ah, the Kevin Ryder remix, everybody.
If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake.
I'm not even lying when
it's fruitcake.
When I say that I have fruitcake about once every 2 weeks.
What you making?
Fruitcake.
What you baking? Fruitcake.
All right, I think you're overdoing the cowbell now.
Cherries, red dye number two. Cherries, okay. Bring ones
now, well, now you've ruined it. Well, now you've ruined
and by
it.
By ruined, you mean made it better?
Do you put whipped cream on your fruitcake? I do.
Did you say you eat fruitcake every other week?
Yeah.
Throughout the year?
Probably a couple times a month, yeah. Because fruitcake lasts forever, and I have...
You know why?
Because it's awesome.
because
it's maybe the perfect food.
Because it's rubber mixed with non-drying cement.
And the beautiful thing is I get a couple of fruitcakes.
I don't know what that is either.
Is that you adding what you feel?
Pretty much.
I get a couple of fruitcakes as Christmas gifts every year from various people. So I always have fruitcake in the house. And then whenever I'm in the mood throughout the year, I'm able to have a fruitcake whenever. My wife makes whipped cream from scratch too. We don't use the can.
I think that's straight.
And it's put on a little fruitcake. Man, that's a great dessert right there.
Yeah, no.
Hey, speaking of fruitcake, speaking of Thanksgiving, a great story to get us started on today's All New Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. You may remember, I know we talked about this last year, a grandma named Wanda Dench. She lives in the Phoenix, Arizona area, and she texted out to the family, including her grandkids, to find out who was going to be coming over for Thanksgiving. Everybody was invited. So she texted out last year, Thanksgiving dinner is at my house, November 24th at 3 p.m. Let me know if you're coming. Hope to see all of you. That includes Amanda and Justin. Well, what she didn't know is that one of her grandsons had changed his phone number about 6 months before, and the number had been now assigned to another young man who lives in the Phoenix area, 17-year-old, by the name of Jamal Hinton. So Jamal texts back the grandma, "Who is those?" And she writes, "Your grandma." He says, "Grandma, can I have a picture?" She says, "Of who?" He says, "You, LOL." And she sends a picture. And he's like, "You're not my grandma, but can I still get a plate, though?" And she says, "Of course you can. That's what grandmas do. We feed everyone." And last year, Jamal Hinton went to this white lady's house to have Thanksgiving with her family. And they hit it off. Now, that was all last year. That all happened 2016. Fast forward to last week. They turn out to be best of friends now. They talk all... No, it's not like that at all, Kevin. Don't take it away. Stop it. This is a sweet story. This is a sweet story with a...
You said they hit it off.
Not like that.
This
is a guy who has a new grandma in his life. Oh. Unless you're into grandma porn, please stop playing that.
Okay.
So fast forward to this year, the two chat about once a week. She asks about his future plans. He's planning on going to law school, maybe becoming a sports agent. He looks forward to keeping up with her and her extended family. He now thinks of her as his adopted grandma, and he was there this past Thursday as well at her house having dinner with their family. He brought his girlfriend this time around. So they all got to know each other, and he now has a standing invitation for every Thanksgiving dinner going forward. How sweet is that story?
Now, what if she doesn't like all of his friends? What if his friends don't like her? I mean, this opens up a whole can of worms, no?
Why are you poo-pooing all over this beautiful story about an accidental text that created this friend, this cross-generational, multiracial friendship? That's what we should be focusing on. He brings his girlfriend.
No, not that at all.
He brought his girlfriend.
Jamal says the world is becoming. Jamal says the world is becoming a better place than it used to be. I'm loving, and I love that you don't have to know someone or know their background to be nice to them. And he brought a pumpkin pie for the table. So there you go. A very sweet story about Miss Dench and Mr. Hinton. And I think it's wonderful.
And their love.
Even though the bad man. No love. Not that kind of
there's love. What do you mean there's no love? You started with love.
Tried to ruin it.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, my God. Take your head out of your ass and just stop talking.
I can't do that. I feel like I have to talk. Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Bean just did my great news.
I didn't
for today.
That.
So that's cool.
Sorry about that.
So I like that.
Didn't know that.
So that happened.
I was going to save it for great news too, but then I thought it's too good.
You missed the part of the story where the guy, I think, tweeted the text, and it had
yes,
over.
His cousin tweeted, sent it out as a tweet, yeah.
And she forgot to, they didn't blur out her phone number, so she started mm-hmm. getting a bunch of calls from random strangers, and one guy sent a picture of himself in the shower nude.
Yeah, so Grandma had to change her phone number.
She had to change her phone number.
Because that wasn't blood out. But that wasn't really the point of the story. But
no,
okay.
But that's a funny side effect. All right, Petros Papadakis on the show today talking about UCLA hiring Chip Kelly. As their head
not
coach.
Everyone is thrilled with that choice, by the way.
That is a strange choice. Worst Christmas cover songs. Worst Christmas cover songs on the program today. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network will also join us, and we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and a JBL Boombox, which is a Bluetooth speaker that is pretty damned amazing. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with the show. LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
I mean, at this point, the only thing you can say is there's no way the Eagles don't not only make it to but win the Super Bowl, right? I mean, I'm just putting it out there that it's essentially inevitable now.
That's your words, not mine.
Really?
Well, that's you,
Ralph,
not me.
Jinx it.
That is that guy, not this guy, who's got two thumbs, and isn't that guy saying that? This guy.
I think the Eagles are a lock.
I think that's the best way to describe it, Kevin. There's no way. They don't win the Super Bowl. Your calendar for the parade at this point.
Just need more of the Kevin and Bean curse. That's what I mean.
Congratulations, Ralph. This must be so fun. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to have,
it was the
have
Bears.
A good team.
It was the Bears.
It's 10-1, though.
Relax. It was powerhouse QB Trubisky that we had to try to keep a wall around.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, he's a rookie. Poor kid. Just it looked like he was just facing an oncoming train a whole game.
And did the Bears not have a first down until like the third quarter?
Yes, they did not have one first down until well into the third quarter.
Even the Dolphins had a first down.
Yeah,
at least
third,
one.
First downs are not that hard to come by.
Right.
Points are harder, but first downs, usually you can manage a couple of those in the first half. That didn't happen.
They held
them to 6 yards rushing.
Total?
Yeah.
For the game?
Yeah.
For the whole game?
Yeah.
Beginning to end?
That was total. When you factor in penalties and everything else, it came to about 6 yards. It wasn't a great day for the Monsters of the Midway.
I have two things to add, and then we'll move on. One is one recap of the NFL weekend I read said the score was, what was it, 31-3, right?
Yes.
But don't think it was. But don't be fooled into thinking it was that competitive. Is what the article said. And the
Fox
other thing
switched
is,
games well early in the third.
Did they?
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're going to go to something that's a little more competitive. I'm like, hey, I'm watching this.
And is it true that that they continue to get even worse for Chicago, and that their plane broke down at the airport and they couldn't get out of town?
Yeah.
Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, they. Again, not a good Sunday.
Not a good Sunday.
Not a good Sunday
guys.
For the Bears.
All right. 5:55. It is Monday morning. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. What's going on?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Coco, as expected, did very well for itself and beat out the Justice League. How about that? Coco debuted with $49 million, making it number one this weekend, just in front of the Justice League, which made $40.7 million. At number two, then Wonder, Thor, Ragnarok, and Daddy's Home 2. Those are your top five films. Murder on the Orient Express, The Star, Bad Moms Christmas, Roman J. Israel Esquire, ninth on the list with $4.5 million, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri with $4.4 million. We talked last week about David Cassidy passing away. His daughter, Katie, who, of course, is on Arrow, has stepped forward and thanked all of his fans for the outpouring of love and support that their family has gotten in the time of David's passing. Sad news, however, she revealed on social media that David's last words were "so much wasted time"
before
he passed. So it sounds like he had some regrets in his life, which is tragic. And it was a big, big weekend for death this weekend. A lot of people passed away. A rock and roll legend, Wayne Cochran, passed away at the age of 78. Mitch Margo, founding member of the Tokens, also passed away over the weekend. You know their smash hit song, Kevin, of course, right? The
Tokens. I don't know who any of those people are.
The Tokens.
I don't know the Tokens. That's them? Huh.
The Lion Sleeps Tonight was their big smash hit song. Yeah. Huh. 1961.
I do know them.
Yes, you do. And, Kevin, you certainly know John Hendricks.
Oh, sure, John Hendricks.
John Hendricks of the legendary jazz vocal trio Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross has passed away. Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross.
I'm not familiar with...
You are very familiar with some of their work. With one particular song of their work.
I can't place it. I'm sorry.
Bean?
Come on, Kevin.
I don't...
That's right. Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross gave us Halloween spooks. Yeah. Hit it, guys.
Are we having trouble with my signal again? What's happening?
Oh, it just went away. That's great.
It's working fine there.
Very strange. Huh. Passed away at the age of 96.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked to find out he was still alive. To be honest.
Come on. Without the man, we have no spooks, Kevin. Right?
Yeah, I know. That would have been a better world.
Wow.
So you wish he had died like the day before they recorded
it. I don't
that
wish instead. Death on him. I just wish that recording didn't exist.
I see.
Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars born today, November 27th. Bill Nye, the science guy. He's 61 years old today. Science! Science rules. Jaleel White is 40 years old today. Rapper Twista is 43 years old today. Carolyn Kennedy of the legendary Kennedy clan is 59. Charlton Copley. We've had him in on the show many times. South African actor Charlton Copley is 44 years old today. Actress Alison Pill is 32. And director Catherine Bigelow celebrates her 66th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About an hour from now, tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, plus a JBL Boombox, which is a Bluetooth speaker that's pretty sweet. That's coming up about in 1 hour here on K-Rock.
And Harvey Levin from TMZ.com with some breaking Royals news, which, Kevin, I know you have just been all a Twitter about, right?
So excited.
You just can't wait. You love following
the royal family.
Every romance from the royal family just makes you so excited. By the way, maybe time to revisit this topic that we did back when Harry's brother, William, got married, which is, why the F do so many people in America care who these people marry?
I, for one, cannot answer that. I don't know.
Because you know this is going to be a huge thing for the next 6 months. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll wait and talk to Harvey about it. That's coming up. First, though, somebody on our show had one of the strangest things that has ever happened to her in her life over the weekend. And I present to you our little friend Chip, you guys, the basis for Well Hung Heart. Hey, Chip. How are you?
Hi, Bean. I'm good.
Well, first of all, congratulations on a very successful year for the band. You guys had one of your or the biggest show you've ever played over the weekend?
Yeah, I think we played for about 10,000 people.
All right.
10,000 you know, people. A couple. Where was this?
Down at the Del Mar Racetrack. We played with, we opened for the Offspring down at, it was one of those things where free, it, the concert was free with admission, so it, you paid either $6 or $20 to get in. So it was a super cheap show.
By the way, you just casually said, yeah, we opened for the Offspring, as if that's a thing that, that people do.
It's so weird, right?
She just threw that away.
It is so
weird. Yeah, just a couple of buddies.
Whatever, you know.
And you have played with them before, so as cool as it was to be playing a much bigger place, that's not the thing that that was so amazing about this weekend that you'll never forget. Why don't you walk us through the steps of how what ended up happening happened?
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, so even back, I'll back up even more. So the song
first, the Earth Cooled.
First, the Earth Cooled. So anyway, the song All Star by Smash Mouth has become a meme almost for like my band and Offspring. Like
yes.
It's become a running joke for a long, long time.
And you've been talking about, off the air, we've had discussions and stuff, you've been talking about maybe doing it, just out of irony.
Yeah, and so I made a joke, like, I think when we played with them at the Observatory a couple of weeks ago, and I made a joke, like, we're going to cover this. And then, like, we got closer to this show, and Noodles was like, so did you learn it?
Noodles asked if you learned it. Yeah, because this is perfect for Noodles.
Yeah. So he's, you know, sending me a text, like, have you guys learned the song yet? He's like, I got a special guest for you guys, so you guys got to learn it, and you guys play the song.
A special and guest, meaning
he didn't tell us what it was. It's just secret guest.
Okay,
whatever.
Meaning, was your understanding that it was going to be somebody who was going to be joining you on stage, though?
Yes,
that's what. Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
So he said there's going to be someone singing with you, so learn the song.
But no details.
No details. And for me, I'm in. Like it's nonsense. So some of my bandmates, I will like, I won't lie, they were kind of like iffy about it. I'm like,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, but I'm like, listen, I'm like, he wouldn't put us in a situation where it would just suck. So like, if
plus,
as long as you
plus Chip votes for nonsense over
exactly
everything,
like, like, as long as you go for it and have fun with it, it'll work.
Yes.
Yeah. Why All Star, by the way? Why that particular song?
I don't know. For some reason, it just struck us just as a song that's just, it just became a joke. I don't know where it started. It just, that was like a punchline for everything.
What do you think of the song? Do you think it's good?
It's whatever. Like, I don't really care.
It's a punchline to
me.
Yeah,
it's a punchline. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we learned the song. And, you know, it's been every week or so, he's like, you guys practice it? You guys like
wow.
It?
Yeah. Did you start worrying, like, why is he so...
No. I thought it was funny.
Okay.
So we were going to practice a song, and the song is it's too low. The actual key is too low for Greta.
Okay.
So we have to change the key. So, like, I'm like, well, it might not matter to this other person who's singing the song, but I should hit them up. I should let Noodles know, hey, the key is different, so
right.
If it matters... All I got was a line of laughing emojis going, it's not going to matter. So we get to the show, and we're just saying, you know, sound check, do all those other things. And I look in one of the Offspring trailers, and I see William Hung. William Hung walking by the window, and I lost it. Like,
now, this is an American Idol contestant from a long time ago who was famous for his version of the Ricky Martin She Bangs song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
he was so bad, he was great.
Exactly.
Right? It was but everybody, most people sort of disliked the super bad ones, but for some reason, this guy was relatively bad, but everybody loved him.
Exactly.
I don't get that.
Because he's this guy.
Even with a lot of talent in singing, even with a lot of talent in whatever you choose to do, you still have to put in this hard work. And you need that determination and perseverance. Not to give up.
Because he had perseverance, you guys.
That's true.
Yeah, so right before we went on stage, we found out, oh, it's William Hung.
That's going to come out on stage and sing All Star with you.
Yeah, and the reason was because a couple months ago, I think I had a plug for a show, and Ralph started calling us William Hung Hart. And Noodles is listening and decided it needed
to
be a
thing. That's how he got it.
Yeah. Wow. He heard it and decided it needed to be a thing.
Wow.
So he made it happen. And he said it was a huge, like, it was like a huge, like, so many steps to go through.
It's a big hassle?
Yeah, it's a hassle, but they're like, we don't care, we're just make it happen.
Like, how does he even get in touch with William Hung? Does William Hung even have people?
I think they just said, Noodles just said to their manager, make it happen. Like, so, like,
oh, so the manager had to do it.
But then, William Hung wasn't really into it, so, like, Noodles had to call him.
He wasn't into it.
Well, he didn't understand. He didn't get why. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, All-Star.
Yeah.
Because this is a band he's never heard of, and we're asking him to sing a song he may or may not know.
Yeah,
so I can understand it would be a tough sell for William Hung.
So Noodles said that the conversations between him and William Hung were pretty amazing.
So Noodles had to call him and talk him into it.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, the night of, you see him walk past your trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all? Did you rehearse it?
No.
Not at all with
him? No.
Okay. So you go down on stage.
Yep.
And does he come out immediately?
No, we had it like second to last. We figured, hey, we play a great set, and if people hate it, it's the end. Like, we have one more song and we're gone. Like, okay. So, but people,
I like
love...
that you were planning for people to hate it.
Well, we just don't know how people, sure, like, you know, people aren't cool like me and like love nonsense. So yeah, so it was like we knew we'd play, like I said earlier, like as long as you just go for it.
Right.
People have been drinking all day. They've been watching horse races and stuff. So there's a good chance they'd just be like, oh, I'll start. You know, and then, yeah.
So you start playing it,
mm-hmm,
and the response from the crowd.
They loved it.
Did they? Yeah. Okay. And then William Hung walks out.
Well, yeah. William Hung walks out before. And, yeah. Oh, as soon as he walks out, everyone just goes nuts.
Goes crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Was his mic plugged in?
Yes.
We have some audio, but unfortunately it's taken from a cell phone on the side of the stage.
Yeah, I wish we had better audio, but it's all we have is just cell phones.
It's sort of crappy audio, but you can make out All Star by Chip's band, William Hung. What is it?
We're now William Hung Hart.
I feel like I almost hear more crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than, because I was listening for William Hung to see if he was on key?
He's William Hung. What do you think?
So no.
He's like 100% William Hung. And like, you can't, well, obviously in the video, I am crying laughing the entire time.
I can see that. There are a lot of pictures that you said over the weekend. I was like, she's having a great time right now.
You know, you're going to have to record this with him now, and it's going to become a big
hit. Oh, he's a permanent member now.
You're going to be forced to sing that song with William Hung for the rest of your life now because of this.
You're going to be forced to sing that song with William Hung night one of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Forced? I'm in.
And about this time every Monday morning, we check into the TMZ.com newsroom and catch up with our friend Harvey Levin, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Mr. Levin, how are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
So glad we have you on today. We were just having a little conversation about this royal engagement news. It is a big deal for some people. What's the reaction from particularly the ladies in the TMZ.com newsroom? Because you've got a lot of young women in there. They love
Harry. Here's the way I see this, and I find this really interesting. When Diana got married to Charles, that was far and away the biggest wedding in memory. Mm-hmm. And usually the person, you know, in line for the throne gets the biggest wedding and the most attention. I got a feeling here, even though, you know, William and Kate was a huge deal, I got a feeling this is going to be a bigger deal. Because
really?
Harry is somebody that, well, especially in America, Americans love him. And, you know, part of it is that he is really down to earth. And you know, I just think this is going to be a huge deal. And remember, this, you know, he is marrying a divorcee. She's an American. There are all sorts of reasons why I have a feeling this is just going to be an enormous event.
Harvey, we were taking it one step back and we were asking ourselves, why does anyone in America care this much about the royal family?
I think that... You know, royalty is something that people are just interested in. I mean, the pomp, the circumstance, just the tradition. Even though it's not us, you know, we can still be interested in what other people do. And the pageantry of all of this is something we don't really have. And I think people are interested in it. They always have been interested in it.
I know people are interested in it. I just don't understand.
It's funny because
it's overwhelming.
So you're not like when Diana and Charles got married, you guys weren't into it?
I wasn't at all, but everyone in my house was.
I mean, yeah, everyone
I feel like I'm the outlier on this one.
I know. Okay. I mean, I think, and I mean this with no disrespect, I think something's wrong with you.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Do you think some of it is, and I don't mean this in a sexist way, and maybe this has changed from the way little girls used to be raised, is it used to be part of being a little girl is pretending to be a princess and dreaming about my prince will come and growing up and having that storybook fairy tale wedding and life and everything. You think that some of it is people are kind of channeling, they look at this Meghan Markle and go, wow, she's a regular, just American girl who's just out there making a living, and now look, somebody flipped a switch and her whole life has changed, and it's exciting for her to see.
I think that's part of it, but look, there's another part that's undeniable. Good-looking people get more attention than people who aren't good-looking.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And, you know, you look at Justin Trudeau in Canada. When were we ever really interested in Canada? And all of a sudden, Justin Trudeau becomes somebody that everybody's following. You know, and it's like Harry is the same way. And I just think that that's just a fact of life.
Plus, Queen Elizabeth, am I right?
Would you stop?
Don't say you, I will not have an unkind word about Her Majesty. I will say one thing that surprised me in all the coverage, Harvey, and that is, did I read correctly? Has she been an actress on Suits for 7 years? Is it possible that show's been on the air that long?
Well, the funny thing is, I had this idea when we were doing the show last week. That this, can you imagine, like, the executive producer of Suits, who really wants her there?
Right.
Hey, can you come into my office for a meeting? And she sits down and you say, look, I mean, you know, you're going to marry this guy, maybe, but, you know, it didn't work out with Charles and Diana.
Right.
But you really want to give up Suits? It's a huge show.
Look at the divorce rate, for God's sakes. Really. Let's be honest about this.
All right. Well, you can get all the details at Prince Harry and his new fiancée, Meghan Markle, at TMZ.com. Now let's move on to something a little more somber that happened over the weekend. Where was this?
Before you do, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
They're moving into a cottage. I mean, this is actually where Harry's living. You'd think that they're, you know, it's this grand style of living. They're going to be living in a 1,300 square foot two bedroom cottage.
Well, that's good news for Suits. Am I right?
Yeah.
She'll be back. That's what Kevin's saying.
You know, she walks in and she says, get me out of this dump.
All right. Let's turn our attention to West Virginia. I saw some video of actress Naya Rivera, who we remember as the cheerleader Santana on the Glee show. Did not look like she was having a good weekend. What happened, Harvey?
Well, she got arrested for domestic violence. She was with her husband. They were having some kind of an argument over their son, and she allegedly attacked him. And the interesting thing about this, he apparently videotaped it, so I'm assuming he had an iPhone, and in the middle of this argument, he must have hit record. And the police have the video. It is interesting what the relationship is, because she got arraigned yesterday, and her father-in-law picked her up.
So his dad.
His dad picked her up.
Okay.
And he videotaped this thing, got her arrested. So, I don't know the nature of the relationship, but, you know, she is now facing misdemeanor domestic violence.
And she hit him in the head and, like, split his lip or something, right?
In yeah, I mean, he was injured. It wasn't horribly injured, but he was definitely injured.
Is it I have to tread carefully here because we do take domestic violence charges seriously, and it looks like this did happen. But is it unusual, Harvey, for this sort of thing to have the police involved?
No. Not at all. I mean, you know, there can be, I'm sure you've seen, you know, over the years, we've published, I don't know how many stories, you know, where somebody has red marks on them and the police will arrest.
Right.
So it's not about the severity of the injury. That goes to whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony. But, you know, there have been situations where there's been an argument that erupted. Somebody says he hit me or whatever. And the only evidence is, you know, something like a red mark or something, or maybe something swollen. And the police will arrest just on that.
Not a great Thanksgiving weekend for the family.
Thanksgiving can be really volatile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it can.
You know, it's so weird. Over the years, there is something that has happened almost every Thanksgiving where, you know, I've always had to, like, you know, at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, pull out an iPad or something and write a story quickly because something happens. I mean, I remember that. Remember when during Thanksgiving, I don't know, 5 years ago, that's when Charlie Sheen got arrested in Aspen over with.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You should do a recap on the TV show of all the greatest Thanksgiving
hits.
No,
we're not going to do a recap.
I don't know that those are great Thanksgiving
we're
hits.
We're not going to do that recap.
No, that's
all right.
Good. Thanks for the suggestion.
TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11, and of course TMZ Live airs at 4 p.m. Same channel, Fox Channel 11, TMC Sports at 9 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, Objectified with our friend Harvey Levin on the Fox News Channel airs Sunday at 3 p.m. Harvey, thanks for the time.
Five.
I'm so sorry.
5 p.m.
Bad information. 5 p.m. Fox News. Thank you, Harvey. Have a great week. We'll do it again next Monday. Now it's time for great news.
What's it time for?
Great news. Okay. All right. I'll say now it's time for, then I'll pause. Then you bring up the effect, and then great news will have the echo on it, okay?
Okay.
We all on the same page? Everybody know what we're doing?
Yep.
And now it's time for too early. Again, okay. Wait till my.
Try it like this. Try it like this. And now it's time for great news.
That's how you
try
do
that.
It.
Try that.
Okay.
Try
that's
that. How you
do it that way, B.
Try it like that.
Now it's time for great news. No, why can't I have it at the beginning?
It works for everybody else. I don't understand.
Hit it, Steve.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. so bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
Alright, this is our feature where we look at things that are great in the news. That's why we call it great.
Jeez.
Why we call it great
Thanks.
News.
Thanks so for the clarification. I was so confused what great news could have meant.
So here are the two parts of this feature. Great.
Right.
And also news.
So one is an adjective,
yes,
news being correct. The noun.
Right.
So if you're
right.
describing the news as great news, one would think it's about news that is great.
But it's not bad news.
No, that's what I would say. Not right. bad news.
Right.
Did I put too fine a point on it?
No.
No, once again.
Right.
No.
Who wants
helpful.
To go first this time around?
I'll go first. This is my great news. A New Jersey man spent Black Friday. He went out shopping for his kid, and then he thought, you know what? I'm going to try and do something nice for people. And he went over to the Toys R Us store in the town of Cherry Hill. And he asked the store clerks, how many items have people put on layaway? And they said, we have 62 items on layaway. And he said, I will pay for all of them. So he paid for all 62 layaway items, the rest of the cost completely.
That's a real-life Santa Claus.
Right. So then when people come in to get their item, they don't have to pay a penny. They just walk out with it.
Can you imagine the holiday joy those people feel?
Isn't that great?
When someone picked up their tab at the layaway.
Where was this? Where did this happen?
New Jersey.
Cherry Hill, wow. New Jersey, right across the bridge from Philly.
He wound up paying for more than 60 orders, which was over $10,000. And then he left. They interviewed him on the news. He just gave his first and last initial. He didn't really tell who he was. And he just said,
S. Klaus.
That's what he said. And he just said, you know what? This town has given a lot to me. It's brought me a lot of joy. So I'm just trying to give back a little. How about that?
That's great news, Kevin.
That's what?
That's great news.
Yeah. Let me go next, if you wouldn't mind, Ralph, just because I see your great news. Nope, I don't need it at all.
Great news was in there, was it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Was.
Okay, I see your story, and my story is not only similar, but nearly identical.
All right.
Because my story is local. It's at the Walmart in Corona, and this is a Secret Santa who turns out to be a lady who paid off. What did you have? What was your guy, your New Jersey guy? $10,000 worth of
layaways?
How about this?
Him?
How do you like this? How about $20,000 worth of layaways?
Bean's playing best news.
Right. Ralph, right. Do you have a story about $30,000?
I got $100,000, and it was all diamonds and gold bars.
Why do you have to make my story
to
less?
Orphans.
Why do you have to lessen my story?
Well, I didn't know you were doing your story until I heard all it right. on the air. But my lady paid off $20,000 worth of layaways at the Walmart in Corona, and the only caveat she had is toys and clothing only. Now, I don't know what other kinds of, I guess, for whatever reason, those are the only items she wanted to pay for, but toys and clothing only.
Guy didn't put any restrictions on
it. No restrictions. Your guy may have been better, yeah.
That's better news.
You had 60 families that were beneficiaries?
Yes.
I had 70 in my story. Here's some audio of a lady.
I think you're missing the whole point of the great news segment scene.
Maybe going down.
Here's one of the shoppers at that Walmart location in Corona talking about what a wonderful surprise it was.
I got her a bike. An actual real bike now that she's turning four.
Riley's mom, Stephanie Giles, put it on layaway at a Walmart in Corona. A store employee recently called to say her layaway had been paid for.
I was literally almost in tears. I couldn't believe it. I kept saying, what? No way. Really? Are you serious? Everybody wants to win the lottery. Well, I felt like I won the lottery for that day.
Stephanie says she'd love to meet the woman who paid for her toys for her little girl. I'd love to at least send her a thank you card or something or have dinner or whatever. So she is spreading the love around so much better than that acorn in New Jersey. And that is my great news. Again? Nope.
Huh? What?
Nope.
Nope.
All right, your turn, Ralph.
I like that woman was literally almost in tears.
Yes.
Aren't
yes.
we all literally almost in tears all of our lives? If we're not actually crying, we're literally almost in tears. Here's the thing. This story really warmed my heart. There was little Katie McClure, 27-year-old girl, driving into Philly, my hometown, and she ran out of gas on I-95, the big interstate there, pulled off the nearest exit ramp, made it to the bottom, but she's out of gas. It's 11 p.m. It's dark. She's alone. There's no one around. Not a great situation for Katie McClure. But there's Johnny, a homeless guy who often sits down the end of that guardrail, the exit ramp, and panhandles. And he came up to her, appeared out of nowhere, and asked her what the problem was through the window. She explained it. So Johnny took his $20 that he had gotten from panhandling, walked to the nearest gas station,
got a can of gas and brought it back for Katie McClure so she could get about her business.
No kidding.
Katie didn't have any money on her. She couldn't pay him back. But she said, I'll be back, trust me. And she was able to take off.
And she never saw him again.
And she never came back. And that's my great news.
So she got away with it. She fleeced the homeless guy for $20.
No, she came back, obviously, and paid him back. And then started visiting him regularly, bringing him warm clothing, food, sometimes a little money. And she and her boyfriend started visiting this guy, Johnny, on the reg. And they found out that he's a former Marine. His name's Johnny Bobbitt, 34 years old, from Raleigh, North Carolina. Was a paramedic, was a medical rescue helicopter attendant.
Wow.
Had some problems with drugs, as often is the case. Had a bad relationship, a bad breakup in 2014, led to drug use, which led to problems with the law, which led to him just taking off. And he ended up in Philadelphia, homeless, living under this exit. And they could not stop thinking about Johnny and his willingness to help her out, and his also his willingness to take responsibility for his own situation. He's cleaned up, but he is still living under this bridge. And so they thought if they could just get him in a situation where he wouldn't have to worry about his next meal and have a place to live, that maybe he could rebuild his life. He said all he wanted to do was live in nearby Robbinsville, New Jersey, and work at the Amazon warehouse because that company offers health benefits. That was his dream. And they said if they can just start a GoFundMe for $10,000 to get him an apartment for a couple months, pay for his food, a cell phone, some transportation, and let him get a job at this Amazon warehouse, that they would be helping this guy rebuild his life. Well, they did start the GoFundMe page, and as of Friday night, it was over $300,000 that was
Holy
raised.
Moly.
I'm sorry, what were they going for?
$10,000 to get this former Marine back on his feet. As of Friday night, $300,000 from more than 11,000 donors, most giving small amounts of $5 and $100 to this campaign, have raised $300,000 for this former Marine to get him back on his feet and get him a job at the Amazon warehouse. And now he has a place to live, and he's got food, and he's got transportation. And his life has been turned around because he was kind enough to take his last $20 and buy gasoline for this woman who was in desperate need as she came off the exit ramp.
Wow, that's
amazing. He's not going to take the Amazon job now, though, is he? He doesn't have to, right?
I think he really wants to work for
that
Amazon.
That guy's loaded.
And he wants the benefits, and he wants some stability in his life. So, yes, he says his plan is still to work for Amazon.
I think you're missing the point again.
I think,
Dean,
once again,
we'll see.
The point of this whole segment called Great News.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52. Coming up just after the top of the hour, the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. We have tickets for night one, and we also have a JBL boombox, which is a Bluetooth speaker that's pretty fantastic. We're going to give those away with a game where you have to finish the lyrics to a
song.
To a song.
I see. I finished it right there.
Oh,
I finished the line.
There you go. And in this particular case, it's going to be Muse.
Songs.
We're looking for Muse fans this time around. If you know and love the music of Muse, then you'll want to be with us on the sold-out night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, which is going to be Sunday, December 9th at the Forum. You can call us right now. Give you a chance to earn those tickets at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Because it's a Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see at their local theaters. And it turns out Coco was the big winner. No, it's not. Not that Coco.
That's from this movie, isn't it?
It's not from that movie at all. No. Coco is about a family of Mexican descent who have a long-standing ban on music. No music can be played. Why? Because great-grandpa was a musician and he left the family to go off to pursue his dreams of making music.
He is a dick.
Yeah, you're right. And now he's a skeleton dick. And so, it did very well for itself over the holiday weekend. As you can expect, a lot of kids going to the movies. $49 million Coco made in its debut. Justice League was right behind it, $40.7 million. Then Wonder, Thor Ragnarok, Daddy's Home 2, Murder on the Orient Express, The Star, Bad Moms Christmas, Roman J. Israel, Esquire, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. That's your top 10 list of films right there from the box office. Congratulations to my buddy Jonah Ray and everyone involved with Mystery Science Theater 3000. Netflix says they're going to do a second season of that rebooted TV show.
All right.
Which was so funny. Renewal was announced at the conclusion of the show's annual Thanksgiving marathon, which featured six classic episodes. And happy for everyone involved with that show because it's really, really funny. And the reboot is supremely well done. So congratulations to everybody. Looks like we've got a new American princess Meghan Markle, American actress from Suits, has been announced. She will be marrying Prince Harry, who, of course, as you know, is fifth in line for the throne. So she's never going to be queen. She should have married better than him. Loser. Right? Fifth in line. The big announcement came this morning from Clarence House.
What's Clarence House?
I don't know what that is. I think it's some part of their government.
Okay.
Here it is. The office of Prince Charles, Harry's father, and said that they're engaged and the wedding will take place next spring, which means we got about 6 months of never-ending stories about dresses and flowers and champagne flutes and carpets and chairs and every freaking detail. Yes.
Oh, they'll be walking on a carpet made of the hair of peasants.
Endless freaking wedding plan details that we don't need to know or care about. They'll be in every goddamn magazine in America.
Yeah, we'll be for 6 months straight. That's true.
Easily.
Yeah.
As we were talking to Harvey about this story earlier, Ralph, I was stunned to find out that Suits had been a TV show that has been on the air for 7 years.
Yeah, big hit. Is it over there on the USA Network? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Smash hit television.
You're aware if you watch anything else on USA Network.
Oh, they beat you up with Suits.
They do. Oh, but if you don't, I can see how you
ram a Suits right up your butt over there on USA. And congratulations to Elton John. He had his 40th top 40 album hit the charts this week.
40th?
Yes. His latest hits collection, Diamonds, debuted at number 23 this week.
Hasn't he had greatest hits collections before?
He has, but then he keeps making hits, and so he's got to collect them again. Got to get a fresh collection when you got fresh hits.
Okay.
And this is the most recent collection of hits. Diamonds is the name of the CD. And there are various editions, a single, a double, a triple CD set. But I thought this was interesting. Elton John now has one less top 40 album than the Beatles, who have 41 top 40 albums. You know the reigning champ is, Kevin, who's got the most top 40 albums of all time? Most top 40 albums of all time. It is not the Beatles, because I just told you about the Beatles. So it would be someone else that is not the Beatles. The category is other people who are not the Beatles.
Okay. Lit.
Lit does not, did not best the Beatles with the most top 40 albums. No.
Five Finger Death Punch.
Once again, you are not close to the correct answer. Mm-hmm. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra is the reigning champ with 56 top 40 albums.
Had I guessed, I would have been wrong. I would have said Elvis Presley.
See? That's why we're all here, to learn a little something.
Pete only guesses when he has the list in front of him.
Oh, snap! Charbroiled! Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Science guy Bill Nye. Science rules. He's 61. Can we get a little Bill Nye the Science Guy theme for next time, Chip? Don't put yourself out. No, you're a big star now, playing with William Hung and the outcast and all the other people you hang out with.
Ralph, you said William Hung Hart as a joke, and then it happened, and then it became a reality.
That's how I roll, man.
It's pretty crazy.
I put it out there in the world. Boom! It happens.
It's the secret.
It's the secret. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jaleel White is 40 years old today. Twista. The rapper is 43, and a fun party game. Let's not forget. Caroline Kennedy's 59. Charlotte Copley celebrates his 44th birthday. Alison Pill is 32. And director Catherine Bigelow, she did The Hurt Locker and other good films, 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You get your Christmas tree yet, Kevin?
I did not.
I went out and picked mine out this weekend.
Yeah?
It's fun.
Okay.
I'm just saying, it's that time of year now.
It is, yes.
And we're giving away some more tickets for night number one of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Hoots Christmas 2017, which is going to be happening Saturday night, December 9th at the Forum. It is sold out. We do have tickets you can win until the show. And right now, we have Muse fans on the line at 1-800-520-1067. This game is called Finish the Line.
You want to win the tickets? You must know the lyrics. Come on now, it's easy. You can win for cheesy. Finish the line, and you win this time.
Okay, win the tickets.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Just finish the line.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Okay, here we go.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Ow!
So many great bands on the bill that night, including 30 Seconds to Mars, Queens of the Stone Age, Rise Against, and so much more. But this time around, it's Muse we're going to be doing. We're going to be playing some Muse music for you. And then when the music stops, you just sing for us the next line. Sing or say. I guess it's your choice, right, Kevin?
Sure. I mean, I think
prefer
sing.
Singing. I think sure. sing is more festive, sure. More fun. So who's our first contestant, please?
Engelbert in San Bernardino. Hey, Engelbert.
Hello. What's up?
Engelbert, if you can finish the line of this Muse song, you'll go in the drawing and might win tickets to see them in a couple weeks. You ready?
Engelbert.
Yes.
Okay. We're gonna play part of the Muse song, then you have to pick it up when it stops, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Good luck.
I
can't get these memories out of my mind.
Something like madness.
It is
just madness.
You're going to need more than that. It's the next line of
just
the song.
Just madness. It's can't get out of my mind. It's just my madness in my head.
I'm sorry, Engelbert, not quite close enough. And some kind of madness has started to evolve is what we were looking for.
Some kind of madness has started.
All right, let's go.
There's always some kind of delay when we talk to San Bernardino, and I don't think it has anything to do with the phone.
Let's go to Craig in Lakewood. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you ready for your finish the line?
Yeah, let's go for it.
There you go.
How long until you let me go?
How long before you tell the truth?
All right. By the way, I know no words to any Muse songs. Man, I would be terrible at this game.
I know no words to any songs.
Yeah.
Israel in Inglewood, hi.
What's up? Shame on you. You don't know any songs.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Well, we're not saying we don't know the songs. We're saying we're not good with lyrics at all.
Yeah, I would lose this game. Israel, how did you do on the first two that you heard while you were on hold?
I sang along to Supermassive, and okay. I kind of skipped on that first word of madness, but I feel good.
All right.
Okay, well, let's see how you do with Knights of Sidonia. Good luck.
No one's gonna take me alive. Time has come to make things right. You and I must fight for our rights.
You and I must fight to survive.
You and I must fight to survive.
Nicely done, yeah. Israel. Nicely done.
This is what I like about Israel is he's a massive smack talker, yet then he backs it up.
Right?
Well done. You are in the drawing, sir. Who's next?
All right. Next up is Nick in Baldwin Park. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Are you ready?
No, I'm pretty nervous.
All right. Well, here you go. Good luck.
Of the people who care if I live or die.
Of the people who care if I live or die.
Nicely done.
Look at that. Did not let the nerve stand in his way. Well done. You are also in the drawing. We're playing for night number one tickets for the Soul Not K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, Saturday, December 9th at the Forum. Who's next?
Is this Sana or Sona?
Sona.
Sana from Glendale. Welcome. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Good luck.
Oh, my God. Drawing a blank.
Is it drawing a blank?
It's You Can't Stop It Screaming Out.
You can't stop it screaming out.
And now, poor Sona, by the way, every time she hears that song for the rest of her life, it'll just bring back this painful memory.
I doubt it's that important. Kay in Cypress, hi.
Hi, I'm such a big fan, and I've gotten all of them right so far.
Oh, wow. Oh, good. Way to curse yourself. Good work.
I know. Give me an easy one, guys.
All right, here you go. Good luck.
Love is our resistance.
racist.
Right, that's the part we gave
oh
you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was an easy one, and I'm just drawing a blank because I'm so nervous.
I'm sorry. Our lips must always be sealed.
Thank you, Kate. By the way, not that anyone needs this reminder but me, but man, Muse has a lot of great songs,
right? They really
do,
yeah.
All right, one more contestant.
Frank in Fullerton. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
We are doing Finish the Line. You ready?
I think so.
Good luck.
Nope, that's a negative. I knew everything
I was Oh, no. This has the title in it, too. You've arrived at Panic Station.
Thank you, Frank. Sorry you didn't win. So it's really just between the two great contestants, Israel and Nick. One will win tickets to see 30 Seconds to Mars and Queens of the Stone Age, Rise Against Prophets of Rage, Run the Jewels, Cold War Kids, Gene and the Lion, Rob Ledd, and, of course, their favorite Muse. Who's that winner going to be, please?
The winner is Israel.
Israel. Congratulations. Holy. Israel, congrats. You get to see Muse and everybody else at night one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, and thanks for playing the game.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Taking care of your football needs this morning on the Kevin Beach, our friend Petros Papadakis is going to talk about the new UCLA head coach hire, Chip Kelly, coming up in a few minutes, and Andrew Siciliano recaps the NFL weekend for us just after 8. You watch that Vice News on HBO, Kevin? You've seen that show.
I do, yeah.
Sure. It's
I
really
like
good.
It. Yeah.
And one of the pieces they did this week or the week before was on the Flat Earthers. There was a Flat Earthers convention in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I'm always fascinated by these people because in my mind, I can't figure out any way that you can be older than like 2 and think the Earth is flat. But these people apparently are very serious about it. They're not just having a laugh. They're not just doing it to be silly. They really believe that it's a vast government conspiracy that we're being told that the Earth is round and there's no way it is. Here's a couple of the people that were talking at that convention.
There's a lot of people that have different ideas on what the flat Earth is. But what one thing we all agree on is that we don't live on a spinning ball flying through infinite space.
Do you feel yourself spinning, wobbling, gyrating? No, I'm pretty rock solid.
We always say, don't believe us. Do your own research. But unless you know there's a question, you're not going to do the research.
Boom, right?
Right.
Unless you know there's a question, why would you even look into it? So there's those flat earthers at that convention, and then there's Mad Mike Hughes, who's in the news right now. This guy may be my favorite flat earther at all.
Did he prove that the Earth was flat over the weekend?
He actually had to postpone his journey, Kevin. Oh. He is the man that we may have spoken about last week who built himself a rocket, and the intention was to launch himself high enough that he could see whether or not there was curvature to the Earth. So with his own eyes, he was going to prove the lie that the Earth is round, okay? It didn't work out.
Now, is he a scientist?
He's not a scientist. He is a 61-year-old limo driver
who spent
the last few years building a steam-powered rocket out of salvage parts in his garage.
Out of existing parts that were in his garage.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Salvage parts.
Okay.
And then he also bought himself a motorhome on Craigslist that he converted into a ramp. So he was all set this Saturday between 2 and 3 p.m. to shoot himself into space, basically, or as high up as he could get to see the curvature of the Earth. But unfortunately, he had to postpone because his motorhome / rocket launcher broke down in his driveway. He was leaving to go do the trip. So what's next for Mad Mike Hughes? We asked producer Dave, hey, can we get him on the phone? And I believe Mike joins us on K-Rock right now. Hello, Mr. Hughes.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good. How are you?
We're fine. Mad.
You must be pretty
disappointed. Yeah. Mad Mike Hughes.
Mad Mike
Hughes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you must be so disappointed that you...
So disappointed.
Yeah, you were going to prove this weekend that the Earth is, in fact, flat.
I was going to fly up into the Atmos flat, and I was going to get some photos of our disc world.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be amazing. But now it's not going to happen thanks to Black Lives Matters.
What? No. Yeah, what are you talking
Black
about?
Lives Matters, they call me up and say, oh, we're with the BLM and you can't do this. And I said, whatever, Black Lives Matter.
I think that's the Bureau of Land Management.
Oh.
Yeah. It's very different.
I got some apologies to make.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just concerned that you didn't have the appropriate permitting to launch from the location that you had selected for your rocket launch.
Yeah. Who gets to choose, man. What part of the country is yours? What part of the country is mine? Come on, we're all Americans. They're afraid. They're afraid I'm going to go up there with my Polaroid camera and get pictures of our flat disc world.
You have a Polaroid camera?
Oh, yeah. It's a good one, too. It's one of the pop-up flash. Disc world!
Mad Mike, haven't there been... Yes, I know you are. Haven't there been thousands of people who have gone up into the atmosphere, or the atmosphere flat, as you call it, and have taken that picture to prove that the Earth is, in fact, round?
Are you going
to
take their word for it? Not me, bro. I like my own evidence. I don't believe in science. I believe in me.
Right. Have you given up now that you had these problems? Or...
Hell no.
Okay.
Just because my ramp and my engine broke down here in the driveway of my home, you know, not a lot of people can drive their rocket around. I'm lucky that way.
Right.
It only cost me $20,000, which includes the Rust-Oleum.
Right.
It does. It's a nice-looking piece of machinery. Aren't you concerned that you might, die in this attempt to shoot yourself up into the air?
Why would I die? Just because I built my own rocket in my garage that is powered by thousands and thousands of pounds of pressure made from a buildup of steam? I'm going to launch myself off my own homemade ramp that's a converted RV?
Yeah, exactly.
I could be safer.
Exactly. That's why you would die.
I'm mad. But I'm not crazy. Come on. I know exactly what I'm...
What? Oh, Mike. Hello?
Hello?
Mike?
I'm not so mad anymore.
Okay. I think we got to play some Santa Claus on a Helicopter today. I mean, now that Chip has mentioned it, I can't think of anything else but that Wing Christmas song.
It is one of the best of all time.
Santa on a Helicopter, you
right?
guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Now that we're past Thanksgiving, no complaints. We can play that, play Fruitcake, whatever we want.
Sure.
Christmas music season, I love it. Hey, it's also college football season as well, and there was a lot of news being made at the UCLA Bruin headquarters over the weekend as it was announced that Chip Kelly is their new coach, and a lot of people have a lot of feelings about Chip Kelly. One of them is on the line with us right now, our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570. How are you, P?
What's popping with you guys? Great to hear from you. Good morning.
Great to hear from you as well. I understand you already did yoga this morning. Look at you up and at it.
Every morning.
Yoga every morning?
Every morning?
Yes, every single morning at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. on the weekends, I do yoga with mostly Asian women.
Now, is this hot, hot, hot yoga?
Yeah, it's pretty hot. And it's not Buster Poindexter hot, hot, hot.
I see what you did there. That's good. Why do you still look so terrible if you've been doing yoga every day, Pete?
I would look even more terrible. Imagine. I'd look like the Kraken.
That's right. All right. So why don't you – what was your first reaction? It wasn't a surprise. It had been rumored that the Bruins were in pursuit of Mr. Kelly. But what was your first reaction when you heard that the deal was done?
I thought it would be a seismic change in – Southern California football culture. This is a huge deal. This is one of the most innovative coaches in the history of college football. He does have a little bit of baggage, and you'll probably hear about it, and I'll tell you about it, but you'll hear about it in the press conference today at 1 o'clock. It might not be it might be a little bit of a bumpy ride.
Okay.
Put it like that.
Well, he was a very successful coach at Oregon, won a lot with the Ducks, but then ran into some recruitment problems or something was censured. What happened?
They got investigated by the NCAA, and they had some – I mean, really, it wasn't – compared to the USC thing, it was a petty theft and a bank robbery. If USC was the bank robber, this was the guy shoplifting. They had a – street agent named Willie Lyles down in Texas who was funneling some recruits up to Oregon. But recruiting is not this guy's real MO. I mean, they'll get a lot of players no matter what, but it's innovation. This is the guy that started the spread offense predicated on the run game. Now, I know that's a little bit complex for the rock and roll types, but this is what kind of evened the playing field between teams like Oregon, where you don't really have a big recruiting base and the most talented players, and teams like USC, who are the blue bloods of college football. Now, UCLA, perennially, is kind of somewhere in between there over the decades. And this will be very interesting to see how it plays out. I think you'll hear about the stuff with the street agent in Oregon. I think you'll hear that he wasn't that popular of a guy as a pro coach.
What about his pro coaching?
Well, you know, Nick Saban was not a popular pro coach and did not last long with the Miami Dolphins. There's a lot of guys that have Steve Spurrier was another one that, that went to the pros, and just it did not work
out.
So
that's not a sign that you're not a good coach. It's just a sign that maybe you're not for the pros.
Well, it's just a sign that you treat guys in a certain kind of way, and I don't really care. I mean, I want people to be treated with respect, but I'm also from a world where college football coaches really weren't that nice. And I think Chip Kelly's got an East Coast edge. I think at times he might walk by players and not even acknowledge that they're there. And in the NFL, that does not go over. But eccentricity in college coaches is much more celebrated.
Chip Kelly in his statement talked about what an honor it was to be a part of the, you know, the grand tradition of Bruins football and blah, 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 blah. Is the UCLA, this may sound like a dumb question, but is the UCLA job considered a great job when you're talking about a team that hasn't won a national championship in like 70 years?
Well, remember the national championship they did win, and nobody does, but it was a coach named Red Sanders, and he died with a prostitute.
Well, okay.
That's now, a that's good a, sidebar. Thank
now, that's
you,
a fun fact.
That is the definition of a fun fact.
Yeah, how about that, brother?
I love it.
I mean, UCLA does have a great football tradition, though. I mean, Troy Aikman was there. Terry Donahue was an unbelievable coach. I mean, my God, Mark Harmon was an option quarterback for UCLA.
I'm saying they're not winners, though, is what I'm saying,
well,
historically,
they're not,
right?
They're not USC. And it's primarily more of a basketball school. But Casey Wasserman, who you guys know who that is. He used to own the Avengers,
right.
the Wasserman Group. He is probably putting himself in it because he went out and hired Chip Kelly.
Oh, he did?
Oh, there's no way Dan Guerrero pulled this off in a week. You know, this was who's the AD at UCLA. No disrespect to Dan, but this was a big money, big giant corporate metal fist that came in and grabbed this guy. This was no small task.
Is that why they're paying him twice what they were paying the last coach?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a huge move for them to make. So this guy is setting himself up to basically be in charge of UCLA football. Casey Wasserman is. If they hired Chip Kelly, that means that the next AD is probably going to be somebody from Wasserman's group. And Wasserman is going to end up being a lot like Phil Knight, the guy that runs
All right,
Nike.
You're throwing around a lot of names. How does Wasserman hire a coach for UCLA?
He's a donor. Do you know who Phil Knight is? He runs Nike.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the guy that... That's why Oregon has 1,000 different uniforms every year.
Okay.
You know, he's one big donor, and he says, that's it, we're going to be relevant.
Gotcha.
Same thing at Oklahoma State, T. Boone Pickens, right? I'm going to do this. I'm going to build a whole stadium, name it after myself, and I'm in charge, and I call the shots.
So if you're a big enough donor, you can literally run the program for UCLA.
Absolutely.
Wow. Nice. All right. So, what does this mean for recruitment? Is Chip Kelly the kind of coach that a lot of young men around the country are going to be? Ooh, I want to play for that dude.
Well, I mean, the thing about being at UCLA is you really don't have to recruit young men around the country. I mean, you can if you want, but you can just recruit.
I want
people,
to.
You know, I mean. What's that?
Go ahead, Pete.
Oh, I get it. Oh, I understand the reference.
Okay.
But you could just build a fence around L.A. and not let the young men in L.A. leave.
Gotcha.
Most of the time you're going to be recruiting against USC, but he'll do fine in that battle. He'll win some and he'll lose some. There will be a national attraction because he's a national name. And he knows a lot of people in a lot of different places. He's a very interesting football
He's
guy.
He's got a 5-year contract. Do you think he can get that program to the national championship in that 5 years?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I could be wrong.
Of course. You're
high on Chip Kelly today.
Everyone's guessing.
I like it.
Yeah, no, I think he's, I remember when he came in, he came out of nowhere, guys. He was like a coordinator at New Hampshire, where he's from. And he showed up at Oregon as an offensive coordinator, and I saw what he was doing and the players he was doing it with, and it boggled my mind. It didn't surprise me. You know, not long after that, he was in a title game, and they almost won. They lost to Cam Newton at Auburn. At Oregon, for God's sakes.
Oof. Yeah, very exciting. All right, I'm encouraged to hear how optimistic you are about this hire then. Pete, we'll definitely be watching with interest. That sounds like fun, dude.
I think a big deal, so of course it will implode and be a gigantic
thing. Well, don't worry. We'll save this tape, Pete. We'll hold it against you forever. Tetris and Money Radio Show on AM 570 Spock Sports Radio from 3 till 7 p.m. Hey, hit up our boy P on Twitter once in a while, would you please, at the old P or at Tetris and Money. Have a great one, P. Appreciate it, sir.
Good night.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
It is a Monday morning. Ralph Garman is here. It's time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
He'll be here in a second.
Oh, all right.
In the next hour, just after the top of the hour, we're going to start talking about worst Christmas cover songs.
This could be a very difficult topic for me to handle.
Because you love all Christmas music no matter what.
No. Just because I love Christmas music so much,
right?
I have a lot of feelings about a lot of songs.
I'm sure you do. All right, so worst Christmas cover songs, not worst Christmas songs,
because that's obviously Christmas Shoes.
No, it's Mary, did you know? Right,
right.
That's Pentatonix, awesome.
Freaking
Pentatonix. They should just burn. They should all. Yeah. They should just die in
agree
the desert.
With that. Yeah,
I agree with you.
A fiery blimp accident.
I hate Pentatonix.
Oh my God.
I hate it. They're an awful band that sells millions of records.
They should burst into flames.
I agree with you 100%, but that's a great song, Mary, did you know? They just do a terrible job.
It's awful, and that's the worst version
this
ever.
This is going to be difficult because Bean...
So much sucks, that's why. There's so much sucking.
Right, but Bean loves all Christmas music, so yeah. Now we got problems.
I know.
So, anyway, worst... Christmas cover songs coming up just after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
It's a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Coco came in at number one this weekend, $49 million in its debut.
Anyone see that?
Took number one slot. I did not. I was not in a chance to see any movies this weekend, so I missed out on
Coco. I didn't see that either.
But I'll get to it. Little one wants to see it, so we will do that some point soon. Justice League came in at number two with $40.7 million. Wonder was third. Thor Ragnarok, fourth. Daddy's Home 2. Came in at number five. Then Murder on the Orient Express, The Star, Bad Moms Christmas, Roman J. Israel Esquire.
I saw that.
You what now?
Because we talked to Dan Gilroy last
you
week.
You who now what now what? 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 What?
We talked to the guy who wrote
what
directed
happened?
It. And he's the guy that did Night Age Crawler Reporter Guy.
Yes, Night Age Crawler Reporter Guy.
Right, Nightcrawler. And I love that movie. So I went to see this one. It was great. It was really good.
Which was it?
Huh?
Was it great or was it really good?
It was great.
Okay.
Something. They must have looked at you oddly at the concession stand when you walked in. They must have said, Mr. Ryder, you can't be in the right theater because this is not your kind of
you
film.
You made a mistake. There's no explosions.
Was it Movie Club?
I was wondering if Movie Club is still happening.
Right, Movie Club. I forgot about them. Did you guys get on your Vespas and all cruise over to see Roman J. Israel Esquire?
That was a good movie.
Hmm. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri at number 10. Another movie that Kevin has seen, by the way.
Right?
Which, I don't even know him anymore.
It's all. We live in the upside down. Congratulations to everyone.
To everyone?
Yes, because I've just found out something very interesting about the upcoming 2018 Tournament of Roses Parade. First of all, Gary Sinise is going to be the Grand Marshal of that parade, which is great because I think it's great that the... We get our vets out there with no legs and get him out there, and we just make sure that he gets represented. He served our country, and I think we have to pay him homage.
He just played a role in Forrest Gump.
I just hope he doesn't fall off the float because not having those legs and all.
It was just a character he played in a movie.
Scrape up those stumps.
He is able-bodied.
But the good news is, Amazon Prime Video is going to live stream coverage of the Tournament of Roses parade, which, as you know, is the most unwatchable of all the parades. I don't know if you know that or not. It's science.
I did not know.
Oh, yeah. It's science.
Now this is made up of sunflowers. Look at that. And all you see all the piping there? That's made with caraway seeds.
Oh, my God. Who goes to that?
Is it worse? It sounds like it is worse than the Macy's Thanksgiving Day.
Leaps and bounds.
Okay.
All parades suck.
No.
Though, right?
Wrong. Incorrect.
Oh. Hey, not to get off on a tangent here.
Too late.
Wasn't Beer Mug going to go down to the Hollywood Christmas Parade this weekend?
He did. He did.
He was and he did.
Oh, and he talked and he saw and he did.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, back to you.
I didn't know. I would have gone if I'd known that this year Burt Ward was going to be in the Batmobile.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wonder if Mug's talked to Burt Ward.
You hope not.
I hope so. anyway, the reason I bring this up, again, Amazon Prime Video will live stream the entire parade, and it will be hosted by Cord Hosenbeck and Tish Cadigan. And I cannot wait for their coverage. Cort Hosenbeck and Tish Cadigan, by the way, are a pair of fictional local TV hosts played by Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon, and they will be hosting their coverage of the Tournament of Roses parade live via Amazon Prime Video. Their characters have apparently covered the annual event for the past 25 years, and they will be once again covering that on New Year's
Day. I saw that, and I thought it was just a comedy spoof video, and I realized that it was real.
It is real.
That's fantastic.
Love it. Yeah, it's going to be the greatest thing ever.
I never watched that parade, ever.
But are Bob Eubanks and Stephanie Edwards still the real hosts of that on TV?
No, they're no longer alive, either of them.
Oh, okay. They're gone. All right.
They're both gone.
Their commentary dropped off quickly after they died.
No, I think they're both still alive. I'm just kidding. But
they don't host it anymore.
But they do not host it longer, no.
We don't really watch it.
We're not big fans.
A mug says that he talked to Bert and his wife, Tracy.
Oh, Tracy. I love Tracy. She's a sweetheart. I cannot wait to hear this interview. And Mitch Margo has passed away. Sadly, Mitch Margo is no longer with us. Founding member of the Tokens in 1961. They had a number one song that went a little something like this. In the jungle, the wild jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, you're losing Ralph at that way.
How's this working?
If I was Pentatonix, you'd play me.
I wouldn't know. You know what's funny is that's what our signal sounds like normally anyway?
Yes. Anywhere outside of Burbank.
Right.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jaleel White is 40 years old today. Rapper Twista celebrates his 43rd birthday. Caroline Kennedy of the legendary Kennedy clan is 59. Charlto Copley, very talented South African actor, is 44 years old. Alison Pill, 32. Catherine Bigelow, 66 years old today. And Bill Nye!
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Science rules.
It's science.
Oh, he's so good. Oh, I love Bill so much. My kid is hooked on Bill Nye, the reruns of Bill Nye, the Science Guy. I think he was syndicated, if I'm not mistaken, at some point.
I believe he was.
Silence! Oh, buzz. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A half hour from now, we're going to check in with Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network for a recap of this past weekend.
Not only that, more tickets for you to join us for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. Just after 9 a.m., we'll have tickets for night two if you want to be there to see Morrissey and the Killers and Weezer and the Lumineers. By the way, a little less of Morrissey doing interviews leading up to this show, if you wouldn't mind. If Morrissey could zip it a little bit as we get closer and closer to the show, I think we would all appreciate it as well. DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Good, man. How are you guys?
I'd like to preface this conversation by saying that Bean and I vary very, very much on our enjoyment of Christmas songs.
Okay.
Bean will listen to Christmas songs 365 days
every
a year.
Every day.
Right. Well, I do. I love Christmas music, right. And I am especially excited this time of year because there are hundreds of Christmas radio stations, and I spent some of the weekend just flipping around all over the country listening to various Christmas stations.
So there you go.
Couldn't love Christmas music more.
And how many stations did I listen to with Christmas music this weekend? Zero.
Probably zero. But having said that, Kevin, you and I are exactly the same in that we don't need terrible versions of Christmas songs we've heard a billion times.
Yeah, I don't know
we
why.
We agree on that, right?
I don't know why Christmas is this way, but it seems like there are 10 to 15 classics, and they get remade 100,000 times. And I'm sure there are new great Christmas songs being written that just come and go.
There are so many great Christmas songs that never even get a shot. And part of the problem is that the window in which radio can play Christmas songs is so short that no programmer wants to introduce any new song that's not going to have time to catch fire and develop as a hit. Therefore, you don't get any new songs. Very rarely does a Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas Is You break through and become a thing. Justin Bieber's Mistletoe a couple years ago looked like it was going to be one of those songs that was going to get played over and over and over again. That's already dropped off. And that was a great song. But there are lots of terrible versions versions of those songs that you know and love. And, Kevin, one of the reasons why so many artists do them is because so many of them are in the public domain. It saves you money to record Silent Night or Oh Holy Night or some of those older songs.
Right,
like
I would say to you, we have 1,000 versions of those songs.
Yes, we do.
So even though they're free for you, we don't need another version.
Very rarely does anyone do anything new with them. You're absolutely right. But then every once in a while, like a couple years ago when Sam Smith decided to have a crack at Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, it was phenomenal. And it was. I'm glad he did it.
So what about Cascade?
Well, let's talk about Cascade, and that's why DJ Omar Khan is here.
Yeah, so I follow Cascade on Twitter, and...
And you like him.
I do. One of my favorite DJs.
Okay.
And I saw that he had a Christmas album coming out on November 24th, so it just came out. It's available on Spotify now. And he put up a little clip. So I clicked on it, and it was like, wow, like, my mind went poof, because it was so terrible.
Well, I think, again, part of the problem is if hundreds of people have done it, you have to do something new with it.
He was trying to do, you know, put his own spin on it, and I feel like it didn't work. And I still, because I love Cascade so much, gave it like a second chance and a third chance. And
you were like, it's got to be me.
Yeah, and then I played it for you guys in the studio, and then you guys were like, it's not you. It's bad.
Yeah.
What? Refresh my memory. What song did he cover in his first single from the album?
Deck the Halls.
All right, let's hear some of that.
Strong the ancient Yuletide carol. Fa-la-la-la-la.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, hold on. We're looking for Deck the Halls.
Yeah.
What, is this
that's it? That's Deck the Halls.
What's happening?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening there.
Doesn't exactly say warm and fuzzy holiday spirit, does
it? No, it says I'm on ecstasy. I'm going to go.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, it takes a lot for you to turn on Cascade. But
it does.
This is it. You're going to buy the album?
I'm going to listen to it first. Yeah.
I don't think we need that version of Deck the Halls.
No.
I don't think.
Not necessary.
We don't.
So Omar brought that up, and then we had a conversation off the air where we said exactly what we said at the beginning of this conversation on the air, which is, well, you know, lots of people cover lots of songs, and some of them never should have gone anywhere near it. They just do nothing but ruin it. So we have a couple of examples, and then we're going to open up the phones for you. We want to know the Christmas song that was covered that you hate the most, all right? So you know this song. Maybe there are other – it's not the song's fault. There are other good versions of the song, but you can't believe how bad the version is that you're going to describe to us at 1-800-520-1067. Now, Kevin, if you have the file handy, that I brought up when I started hearing about the worst Christmas covers ever, some people like it. I don't get it, and it's Barbra Streisand's version of Jingle Bells. And
I hate this.
I hate Jingle Bells. I hate all versions of Jingle Bells anyway. But listen to what Barbra attempts to do with it.
This is, when I was playing the clips, this is the first time I've ever heard the song.
Oh, is that right?
I was like, this is not real. This is crazy.
And Barbra Streisand, known for being such a great vocalist. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Does she have to pee? What's going on?
Come on,
let's get through this. I got stuff to do.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. We're dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go.
This is Meth Streisand.
That's right. It's crazy.
Why does that exist?
You know what? Cascade should remix that.
Right?
Laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring. Making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh,
what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
But again, I'm going to say that's probably because there have been so many versions. Yeah. You have to come up with a different angle. And the different angle sucks.
That was 50 or 60 years ago she recorded that, by the way.
Wow.
And it's still terrible.
Give
it's
me
still
a little,
the worst version of Jingle Bells.
I'm not a big fan of Drummer Boy, but this is Justin Bieber doing Drummer Boy, and he also brings in Busta Rhymes halfway through. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I'm on the drum, yeah, I'm on the snare drum. Yeah, I'm on the beat because the beat goes dumb. And I only spit heat because I'm playing for the sun. Playing for the king, playing for the title. I'm surprised you didn't hear this in the Bible. I'm so tight, I might go psycho. Christmas time, so here's a recital. I'm so bad like Michael. I know I'm still young, but I go Stupid, love like Cupid. I'm the drummer boy, so dope.
Here's what I like, is the drummer boy is not at all about Justin Bieber.
Right.
But that song is.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
good
time.
I mean, he looked at that and said, oh, drums, that means beat. Let's do it. Let's beat it up, basically, is what he was trying to do there, right? Trying to make it modern. Yeah, that's awful.
Wow. Yeah, so that's, and then we also had a tweet from talking about it. I can't remember her name. I'm sorry. Maybe Talinda? I can't remember. But she tweeted Guns N' Roses, White Christmas.
Oh, no.
Now, is that the type of band that you would want to hear a Christmas song? Any Christmas song?
No, they could do Run, the answer's Rudolph, no. Run. No, some songs they could do, but not White Christmas. Not a ballad.
Come on, doesn't that sound like it's a prank? It's a joke?
Yes.
Feel like that's that.
What is the point of that?
In any way.
Because that takes everything that's beautiful about that song and just poops on it.
That
right?
was Denise that tweeted that. Thank you, Denise, because that's a good tip.
All right, give me one more and then we'll take a break and come back with calls. What else you
well,
got?
Well, don't get me started on Crazy Frog.
I mean, Crazy Frog is a ringtone, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think it got turned into a ringtone.
All right, what's Crazy Frog
Hold
doing?
On one second because Omar's in the file in the other room, so he's got to go get out of it. It makes me want to take my life. I'm just going to say that.
What Christmas song did Crazy Frog
do? They did Jingle Bells.
Oh, Jingle Bells again.
Yeah, here we go. Oh, that's the good part of it. That's the good part of that song.
Oh, my God. Look, Jingle Bells should be on some sort of terrorist no-fly list anyway. Nobody should ever record that song. But there are some good songs that people are ruining, and we want to hear what they are from you at 1-800-520-1067. The worst Christmas cover songs. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs, let's take one phone call. We're talking about terrible Christmas cover songs. Curtis in Northridge, hi.
Hi, I have been waiting for this topic for years. I used to listen to this super crappy morning radio show, and every year they would put out a Christmas CD.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those
and
guys
one
suck.
One particular year, they had Smashing Pumpkins do a horrendous cover of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Those guys should be shot, am I right?
Absolutely. I don't think they're on the air anymore.
Okay, here it is.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw him, you could even say it glows. All of the other reindeer.
Now, Curtis, what's your primary complaint with the way Smashing Pumpkins are doing this song?
That they turned up the volume of the microphones.
So just not a fan of Billy Corgan's voice. I get you. All right. Thank
no,
you, Curtis.
It makes a paint peel.
Okay. We appreciate the call. We appreciate the listen. 1-800-520-1067. Worst Christmas cover songs. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. I'm worried there's going to be some triggering going on here because somebody's worst Christmas cover song ever is somebody else's cherished holiday tradition. And that's the problem we may run into here. In fact, I think I'm going to throw down with Erin. She's on line 6 calling us from Irvine. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, Erin. Thank you for listening. What's the worst Christmas cover song you can think of?
Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen.
How dare you?
Just based on Bean's love, I'm with Erin.
Who hurt you, Erin?
Hey, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
I mean,
Santa Claus is coming to town.
I never loved, but I don't hate. Why do you hate it, Erin?
It's that he's off key the entire time. He's out of breath towards the end. It's obviously a live version, and it's just terrible.
Bruce Springsteen is not a voice for everyone. I agree. But I think that's one of the two best versions ever recorded of that song. That and the Jackson 5 are the two definitive versions of that song, I say. So I'm sorry.
When I was a kid, my dad used to always play the Phil Spector album, and I always used to listen to the Crystals version, and that's my ultimate favorite.
Oh, there you go. That's pretty great. That's pretty great as well. All right, in the spirit of the holidays, Erin, I won't hate you. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Appreciate you listening. All right, Kevin, you got a couple others you would have put forth as awful Christmas covers.
Well,
what do you got?
I mean, Smash Mouth, do we need them? Do we need Smash Mouth doing any song?
What song are they doing?
Baby, Please Come Home.
You know,
Chip,
Steve,
that's your next song.
I'm gonna cover that next.
You and William Hung.
Steve Harwell's voice, again, much like Bruce Springsteen for some people or Billy Corgan for others, is not a voice for everybody. He does kind of take what's fun about that song away from it with his version. I agree.
I'm not a huge fan. I know a lot of people are fans of Michael Bublé. I'm not a big fan of his Santa Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sort of changes it for the male role. He's like Santa Buddy. I'm not a big fan.
Santa baby, slip a Rolex under the tree for me.
Rolex, huh?
I've been an awful good guy, Santa buddy.
Oh, that's awful. That's awful.
Santa buddy.
I think he is a very affected singer. He is probably the most successful Christmas music singer right now. One of them, along with Pentatonix. He probably sells the most records of his Christmas albums, him and Josh Groban and a couple others. But he just camps it up so much, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. He's doing an so impression campy. Of him, it feels like.
It's what it sounds like. Yeah. All right, let's talk to Michael in Irvine, line four. Up next, 1-800-520-1067. Michael, what say you?
Hello. Hello.
Okay, bad Christmas cover songs.
Oh, Jingle Bells by Glee.
By Glee. Oh, from the TV show Glee. Another bad Jingle Bells. Let's hear some of that.
Jingle, jingle, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse sleigh.
I mean, again, you sort of run into the problem of you have to do something different than everyone
yes.
else has done.
And they're doing too goddamn much is what they're doing.
Thank you for the call, Michael. We appreciate that. I don't think we have a clip of this one, but let's go to Matthew in Fullerton. Hello, Matthew.
Hi. I got another Kevin and Bean Christmas song.
Uh-oh.
It was a Little Drummer Boy by Hinder.
I don't even have any memory of that. What was wrong with it? What was the problem with their version?
It was Hinder?
Oh, man. I don't know. I just listen to it. I just want to pull my eyes out. It is so bad.
That wasn't the goal of the Christmas albums.
Yeah. I mean, it was only $5, I guess. So.
Who knew they'd come back to bite us in the ass all these years later?
Yeah, well, it's too bad you guys don't have it, but yeah.
Yeah, it is too bad. But
take my word for it.
Thanks. Just ahead of our friend Andrew Siciliano on the line from the DirecTV Red Zone channel and the NFL Network, we were doing the phone topic earlier this hour about the worst Christmas cover songs of all time, and a listener suggested that we needed to hear Hinder, Little Drummer Boy. Now, we did not have that at our fingertips when we had him on the phone, but we have since brought it up. Let's see if it's as bad as he says it is.
Love and his kiss we bring by.
Is correct. I'm ruling in the listener's favor.
I apologize, Andrew. It looks like nobody's going to hear you on our show today.
Wow.
They're gone.
That was awful.
Right?
That was awful, yeah. Right?
How much bandwidth do you have in your life for Christmas music, Andrew? Were you drive around listening to Christmas music on the coast today?
I won't. I have nothing against it. I hear enough of it in stores. I sound yeah. like the biggest bah humbug guy.
No, I agree with you. The problem is there's so few real great Christmas songs, and just they don't make it into the rotation. They keep playing the same ones over and over again.
I hear Mariah Carey for...
That's it, right?
Then I have nightmares about it.
Well, we appreciate Monday mornings when you get up and get on with us. And there's a bunch of great stuff to talk about from the NFL weekend that was just behind us. Let's start with the Bears game because it is being referred to as maybe the worst half of professional football that has ever been played in the history of the sport. Is that an overstatement, Andrew?
Who said that?
Lots of people have said that. I mean,
right, so,
negative yardage, for instance.
Yeah, no, they had positive yardage, but it was barely positive. They had the Bears of the half had 33 offensive yards, which, go ahead, is offensive.
Right.
And they did not have a first down.
I mean, okay, what do you want from them, though?
Yeah, it's hard to do worse than that, though, isn't it? I mean, how would you do worse than that?
I could play and get no first downs.
This is correct. We all could. I had not put it in those. Because you're right. And like in this day and age, we have with our screaming talking head shows all around television, everyone has to scream and yell and say things are either the greatest or the worst of all time. I should have thought of calling this the worst thing we have ever seen in our entire lives and shaming them for perpetuity. That said, we did decide at halftime that if and when the Bears were to get their first down, that we would break in live and go to it.
Forget the red zone. Now it's first down zone.
Exactly. It happened 1 minute into the half. So they got it out of the way quickly. And we did break to it. And let me say this about the Eagles, by the way, who are clearly, and if Ralph is down the hallway, like, perking up right now, about to get angry and balling a fist, they are clearly the best team in the NFL.
Oh, no
period.
Question, yeah. No
End
question.
Of conversation.
Yeah.
They have 10 wins. Only one of those 10 teams currently has a winning record.
Wow.
So just keep that in your back pocket.
Okay.
That team, by the way, is the Panthers, and that team is very good. They're 8-3.
Okay.
But 9 of the 10 teams the Eagles have beaten don't have a winning record. Now, they do get the Seahawks this week in Seattle.
And they will beat them also.
I hope they will, but that's a success. Then they're going to come down here to Southern California and chill for the week because they then get to play the Rams at the Coliseum. So, I mean, that is a brutal test. So anything I said about their week schedule is totally out the window with the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Fair enough. All right. And since you led us so nicely into the Rams, a lot of sadness here on the streets of New Orleans in my neighborhood as the New Orleans winning streak came to an end. What'd you make of that game and Jared Goff's incredible performance yesterday?
Jared Goff at 350 yards, but it was the defense, I think, that deserves all the credit. Not that Jared doesn't deserve his, but the defense, and if you hear what the Rams had to say afterwards, it was all about, holy, you know what, they went out there and they did their job against Drew Brees. And save for that touchdown right after the two-minute warning to get them to 20, they basically held them to 13 points. And, I mean, Drew Brees hadn't been sacked on back-to-back plays in like 3 years. They pulled that off at one point. They kept the run game in check, save for that 74-yard Kamara run. They did their job. Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer, and they had not lost since week 2. So there is a very good chance we will see those two teams play each other again. But I will say this about the Rams, is that they can't look ahead now, and I know they won't to that Eagles game in 2 weeks, because look what Arizona did yesterday.
Right.
Arizona beat Jacksonville. Arizona, Bruce Arians said after the game, we're not going away. I can't believe I'm saying this. Blaine Gabbert made a bunch of good throws.
Mm-hmm.
So next week is a legitimate test as well, even though Arizona is one of, if not the most injury-ravaged teams out there. It's amazing they're even still standing.
I got to tell you, the Rams' turnaround from last year to this year is unbelievable. I mean, last year it was a little embarrassing and sad, and they kept losing. And then this year, they're on top of the world.
I think we use the word unbelievable too much, but if you actually stop and think about it and break it down, truly not able to be believed.
Right. I meant by it.
No, I understand that, but we use it for everything.
Agreed.
It is truly hard to believe what the Rams are doing, but they're doing it. And I think it also speaks to the fact that there's a lot of really good talent on that roster that had flashed and shown signs of greatness over the years, but hadn't done it consistently, and proves that they had built up talent, and now it's all moving in the right direction at the same time.
Right on. All right, one more game I want to ask you about. Andrew Siciliano is on the line from the NFL Network, and that is the Broncos-Raiders game.
Involved
one of the great brawls of the season. Right now, I'm no fan of athletes fighting with one another, but this one looked like it was a Black Friday, you know, two families going for the same big screen TV. This had everybody.
All right, and there's a backstory. So last year when they played each other, and they play each other twice every year, Aqib Talib of the Broncos, number 21, ripped Michael Crabtree's chain off his neck during the game. Right?
Okay.
As Charles Johnson of the Panthers tweeted at me, he deboed his chain. Okay? So Michael Crabtree obviously came out a little angry yesterday and went right at Aqib Talib. He was blocking him and then took him to the ground, and then hands started flying, right? And helmets started throwing, being thrown. Michael Crabtree got his chain stolen again.
Oh, no.
For the second consecutive year, Aqib Talib, and we slow-moed it yesterday and spot shotted it, ripped Michael Crabtree's chain off his neck on the field.
which of course means he should go by 2 Chainz. From
the- See what you did there?
But those are- look, it is ugly. It is a black eye. They're both. I think they're both going to be suspended, not just fined. I think they're both going to be suspended. I think especially Crabtree. There are other guys that got away with punches that were not penalized, that when the league inevitably looks at the video, and I know they already have, will probably mm-hmm. punish those guys as well.
It's rare to see a fight between, 40 guys.
Yeah. I mean, you see that in baseball all the time, but not very often in football do you see
Yeah, but in baseball, they don't actually fight. They just sort of push each other.
And it's
these guys fought, and we didn't even wait to cue the tape up. We just saw it going, and I just started screaming at everyone. And like when they opened my mic, everyone in the studio was screaming, "Go, go, go, fight!" I couldn't hear that in the background. We just went to that game, and they were brawling.
Yeah, and it was insult to injury for Broncos fans. Besides the loss, because they're having their worst season in forever, right? In recent memory,
their worst losing streak in 50 years, 5 years. Yeah.
All right. Tonight, Monday night game is Texans Ravens. By the way, Andrew Siciliano up to the minute on the the NFL Network and then DirecTV's Red Zone Channel every Sunday. We always enjoy catching up with you. Thank you so much for the time, Andrew. We'll do it again next time, sir.
You got it, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
If you want to see great bands like Franz Ferdinand and Phoenix and Foster the People and Weezer and the Killers and Morrissey and more, you can. We got night number 2 tickets for the sold out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. You can win in the next 15 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Father figures, right?
Right.
I will be your father figures. Put your tiny hand in mine.
It's not that father figures. It's Ed Helms and Owen Wilson. They play two brothers who don't know who their dad is. Their eccentric mother, played by Glenn Close, has led them to believe their father died when they were young. But turns out, she doesn't really know who the father is.
Because
back in the day, bingo, she was a sure thing. And it was the 80s, man. You could just do anything you wanted. Yeah, just blow and just go nuts. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You say blow, you mean cocaine?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Party and hardy, Marty. So she doesn't know who the kid's dad is. Maybe it's Terry Bradshaw. Maybe it's Ving Rhames. Maybe. Just maybe. It's Christopher Walken. Maybe I put a baby in you. Could happen. Look at me. My wang.
So it's a movie about a bunch of DNA testing?
Oh, no, man. It's about finding out who you are. Who your dad is. It's journeys, comedy, hijinks. And it's all happening at the premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater on September 13th. And we've got a pair of passes to that premiere. This is the real deal, Neil. This is the red carpet, the whole thing. You want to go? Of course you do. Why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Yeah. Thank you, Doto. Rest in peace. Five lucky winners who call right now. The first 5 people through with that particular phone number will get a pair of passes to the premiere of Father Figures. If you don't win, don't despair, because the movie's in theaters everywhere on September 22nd.
You're saying September, you mean December.
Oh, I'm sorry, December. Mm-hmm. It's December 22nd, yes. I've had a lot of cocaine myself this morning. I'm just out of whack. It is a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office on Mondays. See what people went to see in their local theaters. Coco debuted with $49 million, making it number 1 by far.
I mean, it's a delicious beverage. I can't argue with it. I'm surprised they made a movie about it, but I enjoy drinking it.
Mm-hmm. What do we do? What do we do in this case? I don't know. It's just
stay on target.
Yeah, I guess. Justice League came in at number 2 with $40.7 million. Then Wonder. Thor Ragnarok. Daddy's Home 2. Those were the top 5 films. Murder on the Orient Express, The Star, Bad Mom's Christmas, Roman J. Israel Esquire, and 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri were your top 10 films at the box office. Looks like England's going to have an actress as their princess. That's right, Meghan Markle, star of Suits, is soon going to marry Prince Harry, it has been announced. Sometime next spring, they're going to tie the knot.
Plus, she runs Germany, if I'm not mistaken.
That is not Meghan Markle. That would be Angela Markle.
Okay.
Oh, I should have asked you what her name was. That would have been so much more entertaining. So much more entertaining.
I would have never gotten.
Now, just because she marries Prince Charles' son, Harry, Does that make her a princess? Will she be Princess Meghan?
She will not. Bean is our expert because he loves the royal family.
She will not.
Why not?
Because she will be a duchess.
Why?
Because she was not born into royalty. You have to be
right. Because she doesn't have royal blood.
You have to have royal blood,
right?
To be a prince or princess.
What do you got to do to become a prince or princess? Marry
me. Born into the royal family. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to do.
And that's why I hate the royal family. It's stupid.
So if a dude marries Queen Elizabeth, he's not the king?
No, he is a prince, and Princess Diana was because she married a royal. If you marry a royal, you can become a princess.
Well, what's Prince Harry?
A monarch. He's not a monarch. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Not really.
I'm very confused now as I say it out loud. But there is a reason why
Charles
she's not a
princess.
Charles
is not a monarch. He's just a prince.
He is a future monarch. You're right about that. But then technically so is Harry if
right.
everybody else dies. Yes.
He's fifth in line. He'll be king if the rest of them get caught up in a boating accident.
I apologize. I do not know specifically why she is not a princess.
Then
she is not
a
princess.
Why don't you just pipe the F down next time, Junior?
He will be named Duke of Sussex, and she will be the Duchess
Duke
of Sussex.
Duke of Sussex. Sussex.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Well, they're just full of BS, those people.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
That's my point. It's very complicated, but she is not a princess.
When are we going to go back and take that country, too, by the way? We're well overdue.
All right, let's see here. Why will Princess Meghan anytime soon?
Doesn't matter. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on November 27th. Catherine Bigelow, Oscar-winning director, I want to say.
Hurt Locker?
Yeah.
I think
Did she win? I think she did win.
I think she did.
I believe she did.
If I'm not mistaken, I think she was the first female director to win an Academy Award.
Oh, such a great movie.
66 years old today.
And won it over her ex-husband, James Cameron, if you recall, who was nominated for Avatar, right?
See what happens? Alison Pill is 32 years old today. Sharto Copley, very talented South African actress, 44. Caroline Kennedy of the Kennedy clan is 59 years old. Twista, rapper and popular party game, is 43 years old today. Jaleel White.
Did I do that?
You're pals with him, aren't you, Jaleel?
I know Jaleel a little bit. We did a pilot together. Mm-hmm. We did a pilot for a comedy TV series that never took off. But we worked together, and he was a terrific guy. Very, very funny, very talented. And I'm happy to celebrate his birthday today. He's 40 years old. But most people know him as
Screech.
Not Screech at all. No, from Family Matters. Urkel. He was Urkel.
Sure, Urkel.
40 years old. And, of course, we celebrate the birth of Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Science rules.
He is 61. He is 61 today. That means the Earth has circled around the planet 61 times since he was
born. Not according to some people.
I know. There's a guy who thinks it's a disc.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LNOC's Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Ralph Garman's here with our final look at the showbiz beat here for a Monday morning. You do a little deep dive on future Duchess Meghan?
Yeah.
What'd you find out?
It's all so dumb.
Right?
They're just a bunch of dummies.
Right? We were trying to figure out why she wouldn't be a princess, even though she's marrying a prince. I had heard that she wouldn't be, but I couldn't explain why.
Yeah, she is marrying a prince, but she won't be a prince because she is not of the royal family. See, all these kids of the princes and the kings and the queens and whatnot,
right?
They automatically become princes and princesses.
Okay.
But
okay.
We were asking why Diana got to be a princess.
Right,
there.
Because Charles was Prince of Wales, which is next in line to the throne.
Okay.
He is the heir apparent.
So he's a better prince than the other ones.
Exactly. Okay. He's like the real deal, next in line to become the monarch prince.
So
she's automatically the Princess of Wales. Okay?
Okay.
Because they got married. Now, here's the thing. The next prince is William. The oldest prince of Diana's kids is William.
Right.
So he is next in line to be the king.
After Charles.
When Charles gets to be king, he'll move up in line to become Prince of Wales, and his wife will automatically then become a princess.
But only then. Okay.
Then his kids will be next in line for the crown.
What?
So Harry is like Prince Dick.
over in the corner.
He's like, got nothing.
He's got nothing. So his wife will always be a Duchess of Sussex, but she will never, more than ever, unless there's some really bad day at the palace, she will never rise to the level of princess.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
Right?
But really,
it's because they're white, basically.
It'd be nice to be, although I think Meghan is a mixed race, if I recall correctly. But,
right? See, that's why they won't let her be a prince.
I see.
Because it
sounds racist.
All white policy in that country.
Wouldn't you rather, though, honestly, guys, wouldn't you rather be born, if you had to be in the royal family, and Kevin, I know you wouldn't want to be, wouldn't you rather be Harry than William? Because Harry never has to be the king. He just gets all the fame and all the
why
all
would
the money
king be bad?
Lifestyle.
You say king like king is like not a good thing.
Well, I wouldn't like it because it's mostly just ceremonial BS.
I think it's
to
a
be
tremendous
the
burden.
Loving
though.
King.
Tremendous
what's its burden?
It's not tremendous.
Government runs everything. You just show up, you pet your corgi, and you wave from the window.
And everybody says, Shush, she pet her corgi. Did you see that?
What kind of burden is that? You get all the bennies.
It's a way. But he gets. What I'm saying is, Harry gets all the bennies without having to do any
he
of
them. He doesn't
the work.
Get all the bennies.
He doesn't
bennies.
Have to do anything.
No, because he's always a runner-up, and he's a second class, and his wife has to be in the back of the bus with all the plebes. No way.
I'm fine
being
Harry.
Right in the back of the bus.
She is.
I think being Harry would be way better than being William.
She has to be at the top of the double-decker bus way in the back. That's where she's got to sit. Because she is not the king's consort.
Right.
Right.
But she agreed to marry this loser even if she won't be a princess then, huh?
Yeah, what's that all about?
Right. I did see one headline this morning that said, accomplished actress agrees to marry ex-soldier. I thought that was pretty funny.
See what they did there.
Because
he's a loser.
He is
prince.
A loser.
He's the loser prince. And Bean wants to be the loser king.
I don't want to be king at all, is what I'm saying.
So you want to be loser prince. You just want to be loser prince and not
king. Yes, I'd rather be loser prince than king, right.
Yeah, well, prince of the losers, Bean Baxter. Let it be known, let it be said, let it be written, so let it be done. There's my royal decree.
Or however
that works. I'm not of the royal family. It's a Monday. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Coco came in at number one, $49 million.
I'm in love with the Coco.
No,
this guy, right?
Already wrote
I'm
a song
in love
about it.
With the Coco.
Theme song for that movie is a smash.
Not the theme song at all. Justice League was second with $40 million. Then Wonder, Thor, Ragnarok, and Daddy's Home 2. Murder on the Orient Express, The Star, Bad Moms Christmas, Roman J. Israel, Esquire, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri were your top 10 films at the box office. A lot of death over the weekend. Some legends like rock and soul singer Wayne Cochran. Wayne Cochran, known for his giant pompadour back in the day. Oh, man, had some hair. He had a
He was
mass,
known for his hair?
He was known for his giant hair.
Like Don King hair?
No, it was a pompadour. It was like a giant wave of hair that looked like somebody was doing a parody of a wave of hair. It was nuts.
And that's what he was known for.
Well, no, he also had some smash hits. He had the very first version of Last Kiss. Remember that song that the Pearl Jam, the guy did the cover
Eddie Vedder?
Of? Eddie Vedder did a cover of that.
It was Pearl Jam. No, it was Pearl Jam.
It was a Pearl Jam? Pearl Jam. I thought it was just him solo. But yeah, Last Kiss.
You know that song, Kevin.
Last Kiss.
Gave you my heart. No, that was Last Christmas.
Oh. This one is the
where Last Kiss covers.
Oh, we had Bean singing and you interrupted, Chip. What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm sorry, what was
How's
it?
How's it go again, Bean?
No, you're playing something.
Ah! How's it go, Bean? Quick.
What did you have? Do you have a clip of
no,
the clip?
No, we had nothing. How's it go?
It was a wrong clip, my bad.
Where, oh, where can my baby be? Lord took her away from me. Woo!
That one.
You know that one.
Now I don't recognize it.
Come on, Ralph.
She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world.
Big Pearl Jam smash hit we played like 20,000 times
sure.
on the radio,
oh,
Kevin.
Where, oh, where can my baby be?
Oh, I recognize that now.
Lord took her away from me.
Was that what Bean was singing?
Yeah, same song.
Yeah, it was the same song.
Yeah.
But that was odd. This guy's song originally.
He had
Ralph
the very
sang.
First version of that song, which later became a hit for a lot of people, including Pearl Jam. And going back to Miami. That Blues Brothers song, you ever hear that? That was the original.
Probably.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyway, he's dead.
That was quite
a lot of work for that, but 78 years old. And then Mitch Margo, founding member of the Tokens. And being there, what was their hit song again, Bean? Could you
I'm not going to sing
that?
Anymore.
Sing
a little bit.
Just a little bit of that.
Sing it.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Woo!
There you go.
Standing O.
There you go. He was one of the founding members of that band. He was in that band when he was just 13 years old. Believe it or not, he passed away at the age of 70. And John Hendricks. He was part of a jazz vocal trio called Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross. He passed away at 96 years old this weekend. They were an instrumental jazz singing trio, and they had some hits, including Twisted and Moanin', of course, but probably they're best known to our audience as the three voices behind a wildly popular Halloween Spooks. Halloween. Fix that circuit.
What? Maybe rewire things.
John Hendricks right there. He passed away at the age of 96.
What's happening?
Yeah. Oh, God right, kept him around because as a thank you for that song. That's why God kept him around for so long.
Is that right?
That's right.
Ralph, I hate to go back to the prince and
oh, my sweet Jesus.
Well, seriously, don't
have this question. But
what, wasn't that good enough for you?
Listener Donna writes in and asks, why is Camilla not a princess if she is, in fact, married to Charles, the Prince of Wales?
Because consort. Divorce. Don't count. You don't,
really?
You don't get a second gimme. You don't get a
because
second bite
she's
at the
divorced,
apple.
She doesn't get to be a princess?
Because he's divorced.
Because he's divorced. Because he's divorced. I see. Okay.
Whoever he marries cannot be a princess?
Diana was princess for life.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
When they separated and divorced, did they? Did they divorce before her death?
I don't think so.
I don't. She was. She had
a boyfriend, though. I mean,
she did have a boyfriend.
Why do some people tune out?
We are not the experts on the royal family.
I believe because it is his second wife, she becomes the prince's consort and will be the king's consort.
Gotcha.
But will not be.
What a BS family that is.
It's very confusing. It really is. Thank God we don't have crazy leaders in this country, right? Thank God our government is sound as a pound, as they say in England, which is even more confusing now.
Sit down. This is why it's better to elect people, because that way you get a first-rate leader.
Yes, correct. You never have any of this nonsense. You always get qualified people become your favorite president.
Wrong. Lots of experience, too,
he
by the way.
He keeps telling me that he's my favorite president. He keeps
Wrong.
Says it in the tweet.
He does say that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jaleel White is 40 years old today. Very funny, talented man. Twista, the rapper, is 43. Charlton Copley from South Africa. Remember District 9?
Boy, yeah, so good. Great movie.
Great performance in that. 44 years old. Alison Pill is 32. Catherine Bigelow, the female director. Oh, of course she's a female director. Her name's Catherine Bigelow. She's the director. 66 years old today. And Bill Nye, the science guy.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Hey, Bean, is this the guy that kidnapped us in his electric car?
Kidnapped you in his electric car?
Nobody kidnapped us in his electric car. Wanted to drive us.
Was that Ed Begley Jr.?
No idea. No idea, but it was like 3 days. We couldn't get out of the car.
It was.
It was 3 days.
You wish you
had
3 days with Bill Nye.
I don't.
You wish.
Turns out I don't.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to Noodles of The Offspring about his supergroup that he's put together named William Hung Hart. Very excited. We have Tim Minchin in the studio as well.
Oh, I love him.
And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and your JBL Boombox tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.